On this episode of the Android App Addicts, we talk about our longtime favorite Tux cart and a ton of new hardware. Hey everybody, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 487. This is the Android podcast where we talk about apps. And we talk about hardware, also we talk about stuff. This is the Android podcast. This is the only Android apps podcast that features the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. Door, how are you, sir?
Doing okay, I guess. Halloween, you know. Kids wanted to walk around. We ended up with my two kids and my new nephews walked around for just over 2 hours. Each kid ended up with just over 7 pounds of candy.
So have you finished uploading all of your Halloween YouTube challenges to Jimmy Kimmel Show yet, where you acted like you ate all of their candy and filmed the reactions?
If I say yes, are you going to ask any more questions?
I'm probably going to ask you a lot of questions, but
I didn't upload anything. No, I'm not gonna. Yeah,
have you ever watched those?
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh, Dor, they're hilarious.
No, I don't watch anything that basically appears on television.
Okay, so these parents say, hey, Billy, I'm sorry, while you were at school today I ate all of your Halloween candy, and they just have a camera recording what happens after that. You know, parents apologizing for doing such a thing. It's pretty funny usually.
Gotcha.
Okay, never mind. What did your kids dress up as?
The oldest went as Majora, or actually Skull Kid, technically, because he's kind of technically anal. Skull Kid from Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, and he 3D printed and built the mask.
Nice.
Went as him. My youngest just went as Luigi and would not stop throwing his hat everywhere. People who know about the Nintendo Switch know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Mario Odyssey. There's no mushrooms. There's no power-ups you can get. Instead, your hat is alive. You can throw it, hit people, throw it, jump on it, throw it, and possess other creatures.
So is that the new Mario that just came out?
The new, and my son beat it in like the second day.
What?
Well, the second day he played for 12 hours straight.
Okay, let's rewind. First, I thought you said you told your kids they weren't going to get that.
I told them close. I told them I wasn't going to buy it.
Okay. So they pooled their funds together and they bought it.
He had his own card with his own money on it and he bought it.
Okay. So secondly, I've heard some amazing things that this game is just awesome. It's like it's an open world. You can go do whatever you want and go collect, what do you collect in there? Hearts or shields or
moons.
Yes, moons.
Yeah.
So I hear what are your impressions of this game, Dor?
Well, quick tangent diversion. Nintendo is truly a next generation game developer, and a lot of people who play, especially PC Master Race, all hail, don't understand what anything I'm going to say, and they're just going to say it's poppycock and I'm a Nintendo fanboy. But Nintendo is a true next generation game designer. No one is designing games even remotely close to what they're doing. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was purposefully built to take advantage, basically, of people with ADD. They purposely knew you had to go from A to B. It would take you 5, 10, 20 minutes to get from A to B. But every 3 seconds, they wanted a distraction to be available in your screen of one kind or another. So people with ADD, something that would normally take 5, 10 minutes would take 3 hours because distraction, distraction, distraction. Mm. In this game, it's a pleasure center overexciter. If anyone remembers Super Mario 64, one of the biggest annoyances about that game was when you went into a level, you had to pick what you were going for. You went, you got that star at the end, and then you had to reset. You got kicked out of the level, had to start over. In this one, you dropped into a land, you see a moon, find a moon, get the moon, keep going, find another moon, keep going, find another moon. And you just keep going. And they, I think I heard there's 900 moons, they believe, in the game total. It only took 100 and something to technically beat the game.
But the moons are not all just like placed here randomly. Isn't there like mini games you have to work on to get the moon, to earn the moons or to get to the moons sometimes?
They're everywhere in all sizes. Some of them are by bosses, mini bosses, big bosses. Some of them are just hidden under like a glowy part of the ground. Some of it you have to do a task reward type system. Some of them are mini games. One of the mini games is you have to control a RC car and get it to the end of the thing, and voila, you get yourself a moon. On one of them, you have to basically go through a tank battle and hop in a tank, possess the tank, shoot the other tanks, and find all the pieces to the moon, and you get a moon. It's ridiculous, the amount of content, I'll say, in this game. Because every 3 minutes, I hear the kids just laughing, screaming, cheering, because they got another moon. Hmm.
So though he beat it in 2 days, how much time...
Here's the other big difference. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, you beat it. Next time you go play it, you're before where you beat it. There's nothing after beating it. This game is the complete opposite. Once you beat it, you actually only did at most 66% of the game. Most people only do around 33 to 40% of the game. So after you beat it, you can then go back and do insane amounts of stuff.
I watched a couple very short video clips of it, and I kind of thought it was almost... like Grand Theft Auto-ish, where you can just walk around and run around wherever you want to, sort of, and do stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Open world, I guess.
Open continents is the way I'll put it. In Grand Theft Auto, typically you're dropped into a city and you can do stuff. In this one, there's different lands. There's a desert land, a jungle land, New Donk City, where Pauline from Donkey Kong is the mayor. And
that's funny.
It harkens back to every Mario game in the past, including there's 2D stages where you go through a warp pipe and then you're in a 2D level where you can't go backwards and forwards, just side to side and jump up and down.
Huh. Neat.
Mm-hmm. Everyone already is saying game of the year. I'm not going to say that yet. I'll say it's a great game.
Cool. So I asked my son, you know, how we've always had this ongoing talk about the Nintendo Switch. And it is actually available right now for people to, if you need to get a Switch before Christmas, now's the time to get it. I think Newegg's got them in stock and a couple other places. So get them now before the Christmas and Thanksgiving rush happens for your Christmas gifts. If you plan on getting them, doing it early. But I asked him, I go, so are all your friends psyched about the new Mario game coming out? And he's like, still no clue. I mean, I don't know. He has no connection to this console yet, and he's my only teenager I have to reference.
Well, I mean, does he play any games?
He plays Xbox. I mean, he just, as of like today or tomorrow, World War II comes out.
Well, then the three games that might grab his attention is Skyrim is coming out November, whatever. Technically a 6-year-old game, I want to say, but that's coming out. Some people like the idea of that, playing it portable. You know, you can carry it around and play it with you. Can't do that with any Xbox. The other one, Doom is coming out also November. Mm. Who doesn't like Doom? When you like video games, you like Doom. And then the third is Rocket League. Mm. Rocket League seems to be a sensational hit on all platforms. And the logic is, if you can play that then while on the go, there's nothing else on the market that you can walk into a store and buy and can do that, unless, of course, you want to carry around a laptop.
I see a lot of Rocket League. Well, maybe not recently, but yes. I've seen a lot of Rocket League get played in this house.
Well, and the other big plus to that game is it's going to be cross-device playable. So I'll be able to play people on PC. I'm thinking it's on PS4 as well and Xbox.
Have you ever played it?
Nope.
You know the premise of it, though. It's like soccer and Demolition Derby put together.
Yeah, yeah, with a gigantic soccer
ball. Yeah, it's a cool... I've never actually played it. I've watched my son play it a lot. So it looks really fun. I don't know. I would probably get my butt handed to me by a bunch of teenagers the first time I get into a room with it.
Trust me, I'm sure I would as well. One of the things they said that they're going to do is when you join, you have basically a score on what you're doing, how good you're doing, and you will be matched with similar like people unless you specifically say you want to join this room kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what has to happen.
Oh, yeah, or else it's going to be a slaughter fest.
So... we don't have Mark tonight, and Mark is responsible for this thing that we have going on. So those of you who did not tune in last week, should we talk about this? Yeah, no, we'll talk about this first. So those of you who didn't tune in last week, Mark had made a a bit of a pledge for Patreon subscribers if we got to a certain amount. Do you remember what it was? Was it 500 a month?
I believe he said 500 for at least 2 months.
Yeah, 500 for 2 or 3 months, I think. If we got to 500 a month on Patreon for 2 or 3 months, he was going to take his own money, buy a 3D printer, and then 3D print memorabilia for all of our Patreon supporters. So that, and he also shamed everybody, you know, badly for, you know, not even giving a quarter to the show when, you know, basically 2% of our listeners,
less than
1% of our listeners were donating anything to the show that we don't have any money coming in for, because we don't play ads ever on this show so far. So he shamed him a bit, and it worked. I mean, I'm just going to do a quick call out to some Patreon subscribers, thanking them for stepping up, and the rest of you can do the same thing. I want to get a piece of Mark's memorabilia off of a 3D printer. I just think it would be great to have that guy with a 3D printer anyway. So I am going to say, I'm just going to go down. Should I say first and last names, Dor?
I don't like saying people's names unless they're already a public.
Yeah, I'm going to say just their first names. And if they want to, for us to say it again next time and say their last name, I'll say it again then, in case they want to say, you know, save it as a notification on their ringtone or whatever. So Joseph and Mike and Chuck and John and Daniel and Greg and John again and Chris, Charlie, Craig, Randy. I think that's about all of them so far. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting the show. We really appreciate it, and all of your different amounts. I'm just going to click through here. My thoughts on the lack of Patreons by Charlie. He says, "Hey, Dor, podcasters and app developers have a similar dilemma. How to convert someone from free to paid? Shaming the listeners will have the opposite effect. Nowadays, it's not enough to have an excellent product. You need to create desire. Early access to the episode is not interesting to me. I only listen to a podcast episode when it appears in my podcast app. I doubt I'm the only one that feels this way. 3 intelligent, alternative thinking, techno-minded people should be able to come up with some rewards that would make the people want to click become a Patreon button. In simpler terms, stop whining." I'm going to say whining because he put a different word. "And start thinking." By the way, in case you've not heard of this, I'm also a Patreon of podsync.net. The site turns YouTube channels into video podcasts. I never have to go to YouTube. The videos are automatically downloaded to my podcast app. If you need suggestions, let me know. Regards, Charlie." Oh, that's different. So I know that being the YouTube Red subscriber, we can download YouTube content. I didn't realize that there was an app that did it too.
Well, you don't need an app. If you use Podcast Addict, you can just go into add a new podcast and add a YouTube channel name and do it all right there in the app seamlessly. I believe most other podcasting apps will actually do that as well. So I'm not sure who needs that, I'll say. If you use standalone desktop ones, you probably do need that player. I'll also say, I would say he's right. Except for the fact in 4 days we have 6 new Patreons,
but we offered them something.
Well, but they didn't run away. No one said anything negative about us, and as far as I could tell, at least so far, download numbers have not went down. Personally, I'm very okay with the podcast download numbers shooting down 90%, and while still having another 1% bump in people on Patreon, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I guess. It's not a popularity contest, I guess.
Well, nothing is a popularity contest unless you're running for office. We're not running for office. Download numbers are nice. They're nice. And I tried to explain to someone on a Google Plus community, the number of shares isn't important. The number of impressions there aren't important. And to be quite honest, the number of downloads are not important. What matters is how much actual engaged feedback do you get. That's how you measure your audience, because what you need to measure is your passion. If you have 1 million people downloading, but they don't really listen to anything that you say because you're just background fodder, that means something. It should mean something. I'd much rather have 100 dedicated listeners than 10,000 people who never send in an email or write back on a Patreon post. So first off, Charlie, thank you. It took passion to write this and to be a Patreon. You're not just some slack off the street, just bad mouthing people. You put down an intelligent communication to us. So thank you first and foremost for that. But unfortunately, if Mark was here, Mark would say, thank you, but you're wrong. We have 6 new Patreons. He's going to now feel justified, more justified in saying it. So what I'm going to ask him to do privately is let's take a week or two off from doing that.
I kind of agree with you, Dor. I'm more of the thing where, you know, not everybody wants to put themselves out there. Some people just want to sit back and listen to a podcast or two and not engage. You know, sometimes not everybody has to have feedback. Some people just like to enjoy content and be a consumer of it. And I'm okay with that. I don't think, because we don't have ads, we don't. I like that we have more subscribers. But we don't need to justify those numbers to an advertiser or some kind of group trying to monetize our numbers. I know that we've got a lot of people who just listen, and that's fine. I mean, I don't engage with any of the other podcasts I listen to much. You know, I just don't. You know, I might think something in my head, but by the time I get, you know, usually the podcast players in my pocket, I've got headphones on or I'm in my car, there's no way for me to jot down my thought of something they just said. I'm a consumer most of the time, other than when I'm on the Android App Addict show. I mean, I used to be a producer of Pod Nuts when I had my shop and things like that, but I don't write in to, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't write into them, you know. Sometimes I just like to be a consumer.
Well, I understand that, and I'll say we try to make it easy for people. 7076 Pod Nut. You can be in your car driving and you can leave a message, or you can be walking your dog, or and you can call us up and leave a voicemail. We try to make sure the channels are open. I'll also state this just tangentially. Podcasters who don't make an effort to communicate with people that attempt to communicate with them, shame on you.
That's true. I agree there.
That's tenfold more shameful than us asking people repetitively, I'll say, to join our Patreon. That to me is unbelievably wrong. And the people who start up podcasting for the sole reason to make money is the next group of people. We're just, shame on you. If you're only doing it for money, I only hope you get exactly what you deserve, which is complete failure.
I think the people who do step out of their comfort zone or okay communicating with us, they realize that they are our buddies. They're not just our subscribers or our listeners or our little people. They know. I mean, anybody who's tried to talk to us and said, hey, you're an idiot, or hey, you're a genius about this point or that, there's a whole dialogue that happens afterwards, because we're just thrilled to be here and to, like you said, to be engaged in conversation with the people who enjoy listening.
Well, yeah, and like my example is Randy, the last guy to join our Patreon is right now goes. He does not send a lot of communications to Podnuts over the years, but I can tell you for damn sure when he did, I said, I know that name. I went back and looked, and yeah, he sent maybe 2 emails in 7 years or something like that. I figured out. It wasn't a lot.
Randy, and his last name starts with an N?
No, oh, D. Okay. No, Randy N is not a Patreon. I don't think.
Anyway, no, that was the Randy that came to my mind. Who is a listener who has interacted a lot?
Well, this guy's only interacted a couple times. I'll say this. The best thing you can do for any podcast out there is provide feedback. And that's what Charlie did. Charlie went over above and beyond, and he said both positive and negative things in his email. Because if you say something negative, Mark always says, say something positive. And he did. So he followed the handbook to a T. So I got to, again, say thank you, Charlie. I do encourage you, check out Podcast Addict. If you use your Android device as a podcatching device, you don't need any other external software. You can just sub to an entire channel on YouTube and you'll get all the videos and content they have right there without any extra work and without any extra software involved. In my opinion, the more software you have in any workflow, the greater chance of failure. And I'll say, if you knew me, Charlie, you would know the worst thing I could do is promise shipping somebody something.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of a shipment from Dor. Yeah, yes, definitely. Hopefully Mark can pick up that ball and run with it where you may have dropped it.
Oh, anybody's better than me. I will say that because when I leave, the post office is closed. When I come home, the post office is closed. The closest post office to my work takes a lunch between noon and 3 o'clock. And when there's one person in front of me in line, I've waited for an hour.
We've heard this excuse, Dor. There's more than one place to mail something.
It's true. I will give you the address after the fact. You can look on, I believe it is Yelp, and you can see the reviews for that post office.
People leave reviews.
It is hysterically bad.
That's on Yelp.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't seem right.
Yeah. We do have actually two emails, one from Adam, one from Frederick. Did you want to hold off on them
or do them right now? Because Adam's talking directly to me, so I need to talk directly back at him, I think. So, wow, that's weird. Talk directly back at him. Get it? All right, anyway.
I didn't.
Curse you, Eric, the manager, Ardini. After hearing you repeatedly mention BB Tan on Android App Addicts, I decided to download the game and give it a try. Now I really can't stop playing this app equivalent to crack cocaine. Damn you, 1,000 times. Oh, and what is your high score? Battery 9% due to nonstop BB Tan. Sleep deprived in England, over the pond geek. So I sent him a screenshot of my BB Tan after that. And I said, Adam, I'm still on the same game. And this is about a week ago. I think in that screenshot, my high score was 970. My top score was 543. When I took that picture, it was 970. It's now over 1,100 as far as my score. I'm feeling them, man. It is bad. Now he is not. So he said, here's my new best score is 122. Now it's not fair because Adam is playing the old version of BB Tan. He's not playing the 7 years version, which I'm playing. So the numbers are skewed. Don't make it sound like because I got 1,100 and Adam's got 100. We're not really playing the same game. It's the same name, but a different version of the game and a different scoring method because mine is a totally different game.
So here's a dumb question, Eric. If you were to start a new game on the one you're playing right now, how long time-wise can that one game last?
This game I'm on now is about a month long right now.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how long. Once you get that many balls in your arsenal to shoot at these squares, each throw, each time you go, lasts 5 minutes maybe. So you just set the phone down and let it do its thing. Go to your other phone. Hopefully you have a second phone, because if you move away from that window, you're not gonna, it's gonna stop. So you basically just leave that phone screen on, plugged in nonstop, all night long.
Oh my, Eric.
So yeah.
I love you, but man, you legitimately have a problem, dude.
When he says it's the app equivalent to crack, he is not lying, man. This thing is the most, I'm not a gamer. I'm going to say that again, but this thing is the most addictive game I've ever played. And it's not like it's still a background game. You don't have to focus all of your energies to this game. You have to focus about 5 seconds of your energy every so many minutes and then just let it do its thing.
Well, when you get that high.
Yeah. So Adam, try BB Tan 7 years.
Oh yeah, sure. Come on, Adam. Let's ruin some.
And then once you when you install the free game, it's fine. You get ads. There's certain things you can't do. Like when you pay for it, it's definitely probably this game has the biggest reward for buying it with cash because all the ads go away. A super ball you used to have to watch a video to use, that goes away. You don't have to watch a video, and you can double speed your shots. Your balls go twice as fast or one or two speed. So that makes it nice. Who was the other app, the other email from, Dor, do you remember?
Frederick, F-R-E-D-R-I-K.
F-R-E-D-R-I-K. Okay. I have an extra E there. I don't have his email here for some reason. Could you send that to me? I was going to talk about, while we're waiting for Frederick's email to come through, possibly any new hardware that we have to talk about, Dor? How about you?
I don't have any hardware. I had to stop and think about that for a second. But I will say that new Razer phone that I believe is on pre-order today.
Oh, Dor. I wanted to talk about that. Would
Giddy, giddy is all I got to say. Giddy,
oh,
giddy.
Oh, man, dude. That's going to be the phone, right?
Well, okay.
8 gigs of RAM, right?
Slow down. One thing that we should all believe about all computing devices is the hardware is only half of the formula in the overall experience. Okay. The OS is going to matter greatly on how this device is seen and how well it performs in the real world. With that said, good, Eric. 8 gigs of RAM. The 8 gigs of RAM alone is, I just laugh because it was one of the big Android podcasts, and I put big in air quotes because obviously when you go to Player FM and just search Android, we're the number one podcast, just saying. One of the ones that's in that list said at one point in time, over 4 gigs of RAM is unneeded. It's kind of useless.
Yeah. What? No, I don't agree.
Just proved to me that he has no idea what he's talking about in no real world. Now, if he would have gave a more definitive answer and said, with the current type of Android Linux kernel, having more than 4 gigs is pointless. Well, yes, you're probably exactly right. But you're dealing with manufacturers like Samsung who never program for any high-end stuff because they still haven't made any high-end stuff. Yes, I said that. Okay, here's the specs on the Razer phone. First off, first and foremost, no curved edges. Why? Because this is designed for people who want to cut things, not be cute and cuddly. Let's first get that out there. Sharp edges, sharp edges. You could cut cheese with this thing. Because it is the old Nextbit Robin. They bought that team. So it looks kind of like that phone.
Okay.
Okay. 5.7, 1440 by 2560 pixels, which is, you can change the resolution to three different settings. One of the settings, I believe, is even below 1080p. If you need battery life, you set it down far. If you need performance, you set it up high. Not many phones have three different resolutions you can pick. Most phones have one.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat idea. If you're not gaming, let it be, you know, just a phone.
Right. So that alone is a bigger difference maker right there. But then we get to 12 megapixel back camera, 8 gigabytes of RAM, a Snapdragon 835, a pretty new processor. I don't believe it's the newest processor, but I believe it's right there. 4,000 milliamp battery, which is another thing that I really like a lot. The screen's refresh rate, you can again pick. I believe it was 60, 90, or 120. So again, if you need high performance screen, you turn that up and you have a better performing device. It's not huge. It's not bulky. It has no headphone jack. That's the one failing. It does have dual front facing speakers, which is sexy. It has USB-C.
They're THX certified speakers too.
Thank you. Yes. THX certified speakers in the phone. It does have a nano SIM and the availability to use a micro SD card as well. That's another plus, I think. There was at least one or two other features with it. Gorilla Glass 3, because of the speakers, there's no IP rating. So this is not dust protective, water protective kind of thing. You can't submerge this phone. It has a octa-core processor in it.
Did you say that it doesn't have a headphone jack?
No headphone jack.
That's kind of a bummer.
It is, but will not run on Verizon and Sprint, and the reason is because those networks suck, so I can't blame it for not running on those networks
at all.
Verizon has lost its advantage over the last year. They're not growing close to as fast as anybody else. The only one substantially growing is T-Mobile because they are being disruptive, so it supports AT&T and T-Mobile, those kinds of carriers. It comes with standard 64 gig of internal storage. That's good. It ain't fantastic, but that's good. Expected price, I want to say, was $699. Yeah. So I'll say this. I really like the sound of this phone a lot. I said, I'm not going to buy a phone without a headphone jack. I'm going to vote with my dollar. Well,
I got to say, I've already used the headphone jack in my Pixel, and I'm kind of glad I didn't get the Pixel 2 because I would have not been able to use it then.
Now, I honestly don't care.
Here, my use case for a headphone jack is mowing. I mow the yard and I listen to podcasts during my mowing, and I don't.
So why do you have to have a physical?
Because
jack
I don't have any Bluetooth headphones that are loud enough to get over the sound of my mower.
I don't. I mean, honestly, I don't know if Bluetooth are naturally less volume. I'm not going to say they are not.
All the ones I've owned sucked. I haven't. I haven't spent $80 on a pair.
How much have you? I was going to say, how much have you spent? I love
but
you.
But I also have, I haven't spent $80 on a pair of headphones either, though.
You got them off of Amazon Review
Which I may have gotten my plug-in headphones that do cover the sound of a mower. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I still don't want to own a device that does not have a headphone jack out of spite. I will say that. I only use it in one place. That's in the minivan because I have a cassette deck, and it's a 10 year old plus minivan, has a cassette deck in it with a fake cassette tape going in with the cable.
You can get around that so easily with a Bluetooth adapter, FM transmitter, and that's what I use in all my cars.
Well, and that's what I would end up using if I get a device that doesn't have a headphone jack. So I'm going to actively try to not get a phone that doesn't have a headphone jack. With that said, I can't buy this device day one no matter what.
Yeah,
I can't.
Right.
I shouldn't. I can't. So even if I do get it, it's going to be months down the road. And honestly, I'm going to try to make sure my next device has a headphone jack, literally because of spite. I want to vote with my dollar, but
look at the Essential phone. What a piece of junk day one. But it sounds like it's coming around from some later reviews I've read.
I don't care if it is. The company's not going to exist shortly.
It sounds like it's upstanding phone now that they've fixed a lot of their issues.
I mean, I believe the product is fine. Right. I believe the product is fine. I believe Andy's a smart guy. I believe he has nothing but the best of intentions, but I don't think he surrounded himself with the right people initially, or else they would not have shipped a product of that type. It would have been better. It would have been more polished. I'm sure part of it was they overpromised, and the one thing you can't do is overpromise. I hate saying this.
No,
I hate saying this. I'm going to quote Steve Jobs. I hate Steve Jobs. If he was still alive, I'd happily punch him. But under promise, over deliver.
Yeah, definitely.
You make sure whatever you say is you're not blowing up their expectations. And that's what Andy did. He made everyone's expectations too high. I'm sure it's a fine device. I'm also sure I'm never going to buy it.
Honestly, if I could use it on Fi, I would. I like the different things. I like something that's a little different than everybody.
I know, but how many phones can you say that about? There's at least, I would say, 8 or 10 phones. If you had the option to run on Fi, you probably would.
I would say that one and the Razer were the only two other than, there's no phones that I really lust after. You know what I mean?
Lust is a strong word. I'm going to turn into a Southern preacher. You use the
There's
word
a
lust.
Lot of phones that are just meh, whatever. I could take it or leave it. That one, for some reason, intrigued me along with this Razer one, because this Razer one, I want to let it sit right next to my keyboard and my mouse and let the back of that thing just glow and pulsate red, and right in sync with my mouse and keyboard. Is there going to be a glowing thing on the back of this phone?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything you said, but I did read a comment in the chat that said, please pledge to Patreon so Eric can buy some damn Bluetooth headphones.
I've got some damned ones. I need to buy some good ones.
No, I'm 99% sure the logo on the back does not glow at all, but it is very shiny. It's shiny.
I just want it to glow. That little squid thing. I want it to glow red.
Well, I listened to a horribly bloviated blowhard podcast, like a 30-second podcast today, where they were talking about the notch in the iPhone 10, and I'm calling it the iPhone 10 because it's that's what it is. He said, I understand the reason for it now. The reason is so when you pull it out of your pocket, people can say, is that the new one?
Yeah, kind of well thing. That's it.
Which is the only reason to have the notch. Let's just sit there, okay? But and that's the other reason why I like this phone. This Razer phone it's a square boxy cut like steel, not some rounded curly girl edged device with soft edges. I want soft edges. I want rugged. I mean, if I could, I'll put sandpaper on
this phone. Reminds me of the phone case that you had when you came to Chicago, and basically it was like two pieces of tin that somehow barely held themselves together around your phone. It looked like you could just pick up Dor's phone and cut yourself with it because it was so sharp. And then he actually dropped it, and it broke into like four pieces all over the floor. And it was like, oh yeah, you got to reassemble this Erector set of a phone case again.
Well, first off, let's say I dropped it. It sounded horrible. Disgusting when it hit. And then as soon as I dropped it, I picked it up. I slapped it back together in like 3 seconds, immediately dropped it again. Horrible sound again. Picked it up, slapped it together again. 10 seconds later, dropped it again. Obviously, I was drinking. But the phone was fine. It was my OnePlus One, you know. And that's what a good case is supposed to do. And I was very happy I bought that case. And this phone kind of does remind me of that a little bit. But this has the dual front facing speakers, honestly. And here's the only real use case I have for those speakers. Is when I come downstairs in the morning and the one kid's eating a bowl of cereal and the other one is being all grumpy, eating his cup of cereal because he can't have milk because he's a little fluffy. And then I just become annoying and I just all of a sudden just open up my OK Schmoogle, play Weird Al Yankovic, and I set the phone down and turn it up all the way because it's nothing Weird Al does is sad or mean. It's all playful fun. Let's get happy. Oh, yeah. Come on, we're gonna have a good day. So I do that, and they get so annoyed. Oh, they try to go crazy.
Sometimes I think of Nature Trail to Hell in 3D song. I don't know. That one pops in my head a lot for some reason. Remember that one? Okay. No?
Oh no. No, I can't. I know that one. You did get the email from
Frederick? Yeah. So yeah. Frederick presented an app. It's called Boink. BOINC. And it says this, and he
thought it was Bionic. Oh no, you're right. The O and the I are backwards. Dyslexia, man.
So it's Boink, BOINC. It's by Space Sciences Laboratory, UC Berkeley. And he says this app crunches data for scientists in order to help solve things such as cancer, green energy, malaria, etc. All while the phone's charging and has the screen off at night, basically. So this is kind of like folding at home, but the Android cell phone version of that, I'm guessing, right? It's maybe not solving the same problems as folding at home was, but basically it's using your computer's or your cell phone's unused CPU cycles to do research and work while you're not using it. Is that fair assessment?
I like the fact that it does it when your phone's charging, which basically means it's safe to use power, safe to use energy. I would say this is basically, as far as I can tell, just like folding at home, except folding at home is doing it only with proteins. And I do believe one of the things they're looking for is how sometimes folding proteins can cause cancer. So their stuff might be a little bit overlapping.
Yeah, it looks like on this one you get to choose your communities that you're helping. Yo-Yo at home, World Community Grid, Prime Grid, Enigma at home, O Project at home, and the Skynet POGs, Asteroids at home, and Einstein at home. You'd have to look into those to see what they were, I guess. But
I believe they're just groups. You have the same thing in folding at home. You can have groups you donate your cycles to. And basically, it's because people are trying to get high score. Groups are trying to get high score on the service. So it wouldn't shock me if this is kind of the same technology. I do believe since folding it at home, it wouldn't shock me if they're using some of the basic same source code.
Yeah, possible.
But that's cool. Very good app, Frederick. And every time I say Frederick now, I can't stop thinking young Frankenstein. Froderick.
Right.
Do you pronounce it Froderick?
So no, that's fine. I've got some hardware news. So I was going to come to this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast and plead to our listeners for any used Google Fi eligible devices that they may have sitting around, or if they want to upgrade, they could sell them. I was going to try to buy a used phone off of our listeners. I did already put it up in our Android App Addicts Club Google Plus forum. Didn't get any responses really as far as people who had them available. So I found another one on the face bag this week. And I got to say, I bought it. So here's the whole deal. Due to unfortunate circumstances, I had to buy three phones and switch my whole family over to Project Fi suddenly. You know, I wasn't expecting it, right? And I had already put in a pre-order for the Pixel 2. So I actually kind of got broke, canceled my Pixel 2 order, and then this unfortunate incident happened. So here's what I ended up buying: two Nexus 6Ps, one off of Swappa for $200, and then I just bought one from a really cool dude named Kyle in DeKalb, Illinois, who may be listening to our podcast on a train, either coming to or from Arizona right now. Just saying, because I talked with this guy last night, and he's a really, really nice guy. Bought his 6P off him for $120, and then I also bought a Pixel XL, the first one, off of a lady who was on her break at John Deere's factory in Moline for $250. So I bought two 6Ps and a Pixel XL for $100 less than that one Pixel 2 was going to cost me. So I furnished phones for my entire family for $100 cheaper than one new phone would have cost. Still giving my daughter my 5X that I was using, which was working just fine. So yeah, we're all Nexus and Pixeled up. We're all on the Project Fi. SIM cards came in the mail.
Four people on Fi.
Yep.
And your bill's going to be less than $100.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be less than $100 a month.
That is amazing. That is amazing. That is genuinely amazing. Because most people, when you think four phones, they're literally, some people are paying well over $200.
And the thing is, these are four decent phones. My bill before was more with my wife and daughter being on dumb phones, not even any internet connection type phones at all. Yeah, so I think I don't know if billing, if it'll tell me. I think it tells me like the what you're possibly going to be paying. And I think it was around $80 is what they were estimating my bill to be. But it all depends. You know, I mean, if like my daughter did not realize that she had her Wi-Fi turned off, and she was watching YouTube videos in the house on, so that's $13 right there. That's 1.3 gigs of YouTube videos. That's $13. But it's so easy for them to just to monitor that. You know, they can
do the phones have, see, there's three things you can do. I'll say if the phones have NFC, you can set up NFC tags by the door, just saying in and out. And then you can have them programmed to turn on and off the Wi-Fi. Or you can try to look at like a Tasker type solution to automatically turn on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Google's already got that. I mean, when you're at home, you can set that stuff up through like just knowing as soon as you hit your local Wi-Fi that's in your house.
Well, that's the thing. Does she leave the Wi-Fi on, or does she purposefully turn it on?
No, she accidentally turned it off. Yeah, no, it's always going to be on. And you know, it's decent. The one good thing about Xfinity Wi-Fi too, I'm not a big fan of Xfinity, is okay, Dor, so I take that back. It will be $105 if everybody stays at one gig per month. Which I went from 12 gigs and I stay under a gig every month. If I can do it, you know, I'm an Android app addict. If I can do it, these guys can, I think. So yeah, if everybody stays at a gig, and if they go less than a gig, if everybody does a half a gig, that's $20 cheaper even. You know what I mean? They only pay per, you know, they don't round up with Google Fi.
Yeah. As long as BBTAN 7 years isn't using data.
Uses no data. Fi. Yep. So yeah. So if everybody uses one gig, I'm at 65 for the basics, which is the phone and texting, and $40 for data. So yeah. So I'm happy. I think my only concern would be with those two 6Ps is batteries. You know, they're 2 years old now. That's about, you know, where the batteries would get heavy. I may look into, you know, swapping batteries out in them. 6P is not a bad phone. Three gigs of RAM. It's pretty decent. It's got dual front firing speakers on it.
Yeah. I don't want to say it like this, Eric. The only thing I heard of possible negativity about that phone is you better make sure it's in a decent case, because that back piece of glass on the top can be broke.
Right. Yes. No, I could see that. And both of them came in the case from the original owners. The dude actually, Kyle, he goes, I got a whole story. I mean, this Kyle guy, he was not a listener, but he had Podcast Addict installed on his phone, and he had I think 20 hour train ride coming ahead of him the next day. So yeah, wow. So he's added our show. I talked to him and I'll tell you what, the amount of people that I see using Podcast Addict is just unreal. Everybody. So anyway, I didn't realize it. And I just saw on a Facebook post that they reached 1 billion downloads of podcasts a billion episodes have been downloaded now off a podcast addict.
I'll just say I've done my part here. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so he told me that the 6P that my son now owns has been to 20 countries and he's never dropped it. There was a little chunk out of the corner of his case, but that was because it got caught on the stud of his jeans and he pulled and it kind of ripped the corner off.
Yeah, I'll give everyone my podcast addict stats for this week. Today, 18 hours, 25 minutes of podcast. Yesterday, 22 hours, 23 minutes of podcast. This week, 3 days, 20 hours of podcast. This week started 3 days ago. 3 days ago. Last week, 5 days, 14 hours of podcast. November, 1 day, 6 hours, because, you know. But in the month of October, 19 days and 9 hours of podcast. So I've done my part to hit that high number.
So when you were podcast. Talking about where you listened to this podcast for 30 seconds, it was probably, honestly, like a 15-minute long podcast. But because you do it like at the speed you do, it's a 30-second podcast.
It was like maybe a 3-minute podcast. So yeah, it was probably like a 10-minute podcast. It was basically just someone taking it. I don't think it was, it might've been Spoken Edition. It might've been a article from possibly Lifehacker that was put on Spoken Edition podcast, which is basically small, short, written articles, professionally vocalized.
In the chat room, it says you listen to podcasts almost as much as Eric plays BB Tan.
Fair.
Oh, I got one more piece of hardware news. So I don't know if I was complaining on the show last week about my left mouse button double clicking too much on, oddly enough, my Razer mouse that glowed red, pulsing with my keyboard in sync. But so it was double clicking when I wanted to single click. You know, those switches have a life. You click enough, they're going to go bad. I've had it for a few years. So I just, my new piece of hardware is an MSI DS200 mouse. I got it for like 20 some bucks. I went to a...
Wired?
It's wired.
Yeah. Good man.
It's a decent gaming mouse. It's not, you know, even though I added all of the weights to it that it came with, it's still not heavy. It's weird. It's like, it must have weighed nothing before I put these in that. But it's got the DPI controls right on the top. They change colors as you do it, so you know, just at a glance. Unfortunately, the software that comes with it doesn't work on Linux, and I only run Linux on this podcast rig, so I can't change the RGB LEDs in the rest of it. But red is the color of my keyboard already, so it works.
Gotcha.
That's it for my hardware news, I think, for the week.
Okay. What I want to do is bring an app and a shout out and a thank you. Okay. And a testify and a provide feedback, please, people. Caleb Fultz, long time Podnutsians. I swear he first got introduced to Podnuts by a teacher in, I believe, high school, Doc Brown.
Yeah.
I salute Doc Brown, really good guy. And so I believe Caleb's been with Podnuts for well over 7 years, 8 years. He's a man. He has a house, he has a dog, he has a job, he has a car, he's living life. He has a horror podcast. He went and he said learned some real languages and made a application for us, Podnuts in Your Pocket by SipNet Apps Tools. E for Everyone does contain ads, does contain in-app purchases. Right now you can't even do an in-app purchase. It's so new of an application. All the ads basically go to help paying his fees. He had to pay money to have an account on Google Play. It's taken him time to do this. So all proceeds are going to support him. It was released like yesterday, I believe. 3 reviews in the market, 5.0 average review, surprise, surprise. Updated November 2nd, between 10 and 50 installs, version 1.2.3. Basically, what this lets you do is keep track of right now the Podnuts RSS feeds. You can click and you can look at either all shows or you can look at any of the individual shows and you can instantly access all of the notes. I will say first and foremost, before I go any further, Tim left us a review for this in Google Play. Tim, I salute you. You're the man. I work with him. He is almost the only person I work with that I genuinely respect. Because this guy bust his hump. That's all I got to say. This guy knows his job and he bust his hump. And I know when someone says Tim is working on it, I ain't got to stress at all. So thank you very much, Tim. The second review I see is by Chris. Chris is a longtime Patreon, longtime friend up there in the Great White North. So thank you all for the reviews, guys. That definitely helps our Google Play ranking. I'm going to say it's a very new app. If I encourage people to download this app, really for a couple of reasons. One, support those who support you. Caleb went out of his way to make this app. Now you have instant access to the entire history of show notes for all of the pod, for all the Podnuts podcast. You will be able to do more functionality as time goes on. He does plan on doing other things like actually letting you listen to the RSS feeds, and he's looking at a way to automatically notify people when shows go live.
Cool.
So that's awesome. And there's more stuff he plans on implementing. It's a question of time. And I will say the easiest way to get somebody to do something is to shove money at them. So download the app, open the app, let the ads roll for a little bit. When he has the in-app purchase thing going, if you want to see more functionality in this app, if you bribe him with this thing we call money, I'm sure he'll want to do more things quicker. So I really just got to say thank you to Caleb. Podnuts in Your Pocket is the app name. He's the man.
You know, I can't wait till he puts the donate button on there. I'm ready. I can't wait to see where this app goes. Did he not make an app for us a long time ago?
He made an Android App Addicts app, and that's what this was.
Yeah, that's funny too.
This was going to be a second iteration of an Android App Addicts app. Then he basically found out, well, why? I can just add this thing here, and then bam, I can do the entire network.
Plus, so, Chrome, Google said you can't use the word Android.
Can't use the word Podnuts.
Really?
And then I had to send him an email from a genuine Podnuts email account saying, Caleb Foltz represents Podnuts in everything Google Play related, basically.
Oh, so they were protecting you. Well, that's nice.
It turns out Podnuts was a big enough brand for them to say, you can't use that name.
Well, that's good. Okay. I thought it was that it was Android App Addicts and he couldn't use the word Android. Okay.
The first app, I want to say he did get in trouble for that.
Okay. So keep Door and the rest of the crew in your pocket with Podnuts in your pocket. That's cool. Is that, I thought I saw a little joke on here that I wanted to read, but he must have changed something up because there was something like, is that an app in your pocket or something? I don't know. I thought there was some kind of a thing that he had put on here, but. Thank you, Caleb. It's very cool. And Caleb is SipNet Apps, if anybody's looking for this. And his Scatter Roller was another one he brought recently. And he emailed me. I didn't know what he was trying to do with this. And so I felt bad because I'm like, well, I guess I've never played Scatter. And he's like, no, it's for Scattergories, dummy. So the Scatter Roller is an app that he also made. So you could play Scattergories in your car. You don't have to roll out a dice. Or if you lose your Scattergory dice, you can use this app too. I think that's an accurate description of the app.
I'm not positive. I think it is too. I do remember the game. I don't remember ever actually playing it myself, mainly because I can't play any board games because if my wife beats me, she'll never let me forget it.
Oh.
So,
well,
that's
simple. Just beat her. Anymore.
She's a sore winner. Why don't you just
stop losing?
Because she might cheat and you know, my vision's bad and I won't see it. And that's my excuse and you can't prove me wrong. Because my wife is smarter than me, Eric. Let's just get that out there. Fine. You made me say it. That's okay. I married someone smarter than me.
Okay. I'll let you say that. All right, Dor.
That was a large weight off my chest, Eric. Thank you.
I might have an app. I do have an app. Here, let me grab it here.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Eric, do you maybe have an app for the show?
I've got an app for the show. Okay, I've been on Facebook researching and tracking down and none of these phones were anywhere within 100. Well, they were within 100 miles, just both of them. I drove a long distance one way for one of the phones and I drove a long distance the other way for the other one, but worth every mile, even in the rain and sleet yesterday, it was worth it. So this is an app that is for Android Wear, and it is called Look Behind for Android Wear. And the icon for it is a rearview mirror, which is not really accurate. This app, okay. So I've talked to you.
No,
what,
man.
What door?
It can't put links that make it want to install.
Why would it want to install?
Dang it! Because the link you put in the notes, as soon as you hit it, it launches and then it tries to install.
It tries to install on your computer.
If you read the URL, it's where.lookbehind, then ampersand HL equals EN equals RDID.com, which means install. So anybody who clicks that link, it's going to automatically try to install on their device.
So it's not just a link to the app.
Yeah, just a link to the app is always shorter. Because you freaked me out. I clicked it. I'm like, what's happening to my computer? I'm on Linux. I don't have a virus.
Do you have a good link for me? Do I need to cut something off the end? Oh, you did. Okay, you got it. Okay.
You got me, man.
Okay, so this, you know, I've talked about these, what do they call it? Like cameras on a stick, basically, is what I'm going to say. They are a borescope. Remember I've talked about the borescope I bought? No?
First off, I'm taken back. Fingers, look behind. I'm just slightly. What the hell are you talking about, borescope? What the hell are you? I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
I told you my wife was smarter than me. Stop confusing me.
So borescope is basically like a rope or a stick or somewhere in between the two things, like a semi-stiff rope with a camera and an LED light at the end of it. And you can slide it into...
Oh, like the anal probe.
Well, not a probe. Well, I mean, anal camera, I guess, if you want to go with it. I mean, I wasn't going there, Dor. I wasn't going to say that word with it, but if you want to use it that way, that's fine. But I was using it for like finding things under a cabinet or going down into plumbing and seeing where the clog is or honestly, I bought the last one just to use on my RV because the hose had a kink in it and I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. My water wasn't filling. I had to figure it out. So anyway, this, if you don't want to go out and buy that piece of hardware of which they're really reasonable. You can get them for like $16 now and they're just USB or Bluetooth and they go right over to your phone. This Look Behind app is basically, if you have an Android Wear device, that becomes your phone screen and you can then take, because most phones have like the camera right up at the top corner of it. So you could kind of like set your phone over the edge of the cabinet if you need to look behind something, like behind the edge of a cabinet or under something. You can stick your phone's camera in there, and then rather than hitting, sometimes you, like I used to, like hit record and then look at it later, you know. But now I can just watch it live on my Wear device, on my watch. I can use that as my phone screen, so I can see what's going on while I have my phone like situated in a strange tight corner somewhere or whatever. That's what it does, and it works well. And okay, you can switch front or rear if you want. Camera.
I'll just say it. I like the idea of this, and I'm sure if I used it, I'm sure I had this, I would find a use case for it. My example is plugging up cables to a monitor. It used to be one of the most aggravating things I had to do when hooking up mini computers and computers, until I figured out I can put my phone in selfie mode, lay it down at the foot of the monitor, and it will look up and I can see the plug and I know exactly where the plug goes, and voila, I can plug up my HDMI, DVI, VGA really easily. I mean, the easiest I've ever done it without having to turn the monitor upside down and bend it, and you know, it's just painful. But there's just a slight like creepy factor with this app, I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, just saying. But if you need a second set of eyeballs in a place where you can't get to, because I've had times where I want to use my camera, but I can't see my screen. So this would be perfect if I actually had a Android Wear watch to use those kind of things. Because like in my back room where I have my furnace, you know, central AC stuff, I got to change the filter and it's not easy to get back there. And I have dropped things on the other side of the system and I can never find it. So when the house burns down or falls down, they're going to find like, you know, coins and screws back there that I can't get.
Or what if you wanted to see if there's actually leaves up in your gutter? And you got a selfie stick that could get your phone just up there high enough to look up there with your arm extended and the selfie stick. You could look up in your eave spout and just look at your phone to see if it's full of trash or not. Things like that, you know, that yep. kind of stuff. Or stick it up, if you're afraid of your attic, you could just stick a selfie stick up there with the camera light on and look up in your attic and switch it around to check for ghosts.
Right, if you're afraid of a clown or something.
Yeah. There was the town down the street from us. It's called Dixon, Illinois. somebody went around tying red balloons to all the gutters.
Nice.
Yeah. Well done, peoples. Well done. That's my app for now. What do you got, Dor?
Okay. Well, I'll bring this one, and I'm purposely bringing it for you because I could see this being the kind of app you might really enjoy. Seriously. Because you were the one who would also bring a live wallpapers mm-hmm. to the show. And to me, this is in the same genre of live wallpapers. It's called Navbar Animations No Root by AXNX under personalization, E for everyone, 610 reviews, completely free to download, does have ads, does have in-app purchases, 4.2 average reviews, updated November 2nd, 2017, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, version 1.3. I like the idea of this because what it enables you to do on compatible devices, if you have the virtual navigation buttons at the bottom, home, back, and recently used, you can animate the background of it with no root. This is just the kind of thing, if you're looking to add, I hate using words like this, but pizzazz, if you want to add that bling, if you want to add that fanciness to your device that catches people's eyes, this actually could be pretty cool. That's all I got to say.
You're right. This is totally up my alley. I don't know if it worked. The Pixel launcher on the Pixel is a little bit different because I don't have an apps button down there. My button down at the bottom is just the assistant. So to get
that's
to, so to get to apps, you just swipe up now. But yeah, that's not a bad idea. I could try installing this and taking a look. I like a little something going on down there.
I'm sure you do.
How come everything I say,
I guess
when you start the night with the word boroscope, it's never going to get better.
Well, and of course, I'm just going to say because Mark isn't here to keep everything.
That's true. Yeah. Our Sultan of the Soapbox is not here to PC us.
Yeah. To keep us straight when the mice is away.
No, I like it, Dor.
Kids will play. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't.
I confuse myself. When the mice is away, the kids will play? That doesn't make sense, right? That's
when
wrong,
the,
right?
Mice is away, the kids will play.
That can't be the right
thing. Away. I don't think it's mice. There's something. When the mum's away.
Listen, I'm like brittle now. I'm starting to get depressed. Let's talk about
what you got?
This one I'm going to bring because it is a sister application of OpenStreetMaps. There is nothing on the planet as verbose, as rich, as detailed, as in-depth as Google Maps. Thus, everyone knows iOS maps suck.
Apple Maps was just driving around a lot lately. They stayed at our hotel for a while, so they're trying.
This app is called Street Complete, and what it basically is, it's open street maps, and what they try to do is basically like crowdsource the information. So what happens is you install this app on your device, and then it will ask you questions from time to time about places that are close to you. So you can help fill in the data on the map. Now, in Google Maps, there's a way you can answer questions, and they ask you questions about places like, do they take credit cards? Is there a long wait? Is this place classy? Does it serve coffee? Is it vegan only? Which, if it knew me, it wouldn't ask that question. But what this is, almost the inverse. It's OpenStreetMaps, open data. So when you answer the questions, the answers go back to feed into OpenStreetMap from everything I can tell. So I like this. This to me is another way to give back to a app that's trying to do good. Street Complete by West Nordist, travel and local E for everyone. Completely free, 86 reviews, 4.7 average reviews, updated October 18th, 2017, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, version 2.3.
Have you used the maps of this yet?
I literally just loaded it maybe 3 hours ago. Haven't had time to play with it, but I hope it's going to basically like randomly pop up and say, hey, we see you're by the Home Depot. Does it have adequate parking?
Yeah.
Stuff like
I think
that.
It's called Google Local Guides is what asks you all that kind of stuff. And you can earn points and stuff with Google. I don't even know. I don't know if you can turn them in for anything yet, though.
Right now, no. I believe what they're expecting is you're going to be able to get discounts on certain Google products or services.
They can give me a Home Max for all the questions I've answered for them. That'd be all right.
That would probably be around 3 billion questions.
All right. Well,
because
they need to start putting the questions during my BBTAN sessions, and then I'll have time to answer them. If they could just like overlay the game so it doesn't stop the game and I can still answer that question, that'd be good.
See, you're on the wrong show. You need to be on Android Developers. That's what you need to do.
They don't want to hear my ideas.
Gotcha. This one I'm going to bring just because I have to. It's in my contract. And by contract, I mean I'm a Linux user. I don't have a choice.
Oh, hey, Dor, before you start. When the cat's away, the mice will play.
I don't have any cats. So we always play.
Thank you. Thank you, chat room.
Thank you. There is only one game not on Nintendo that people agree is the best cart game of all time. I had to verb that very carefully because the best cart game is Mario Kart. Let's just say that. But off of the Nintendo console, this one is pretty good. It's gotten a lot better over the time, I'll say. So if you haven't tried it in a couple of years, it is
and much it's been better. Here forever.
Well, and it's grown up, I'll say. This is called Super Tux Kart. This has been available to download on Linux literally for 10+ years, I'm going to say.
At least.
And now it's available to download even as an Android application. Super Tux Kart, all one word, SuperTuxKart by DVDEVEEEE. Jeez. Racing, E for everyone, completely free to download. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases. That's what you get when you use open source, people. 172 reviews, 4.7 average reviews. Updated October 28th, 2017, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs. This will not run on extremely low-end devices, is what I'll say. And if you notice, there's no video for it in the Play Store, which we all know means it's a better game. They did just have a major revamp of tracks and stuff, like I want to say 3 or 4 days ago. And I do believe the newest of the new tracks are available on this. And this does have multiplayer. I will say I only played it local multiplayer over my own wireless network. And it worked okay. I couldn't tell if there was lag because I was destroying the opponent I was with. Because, you know, he's a kid of 12 years old. But it worked, and we had fun. He definitely seemed to like it. I don't know if it's going to make him stop watching YouTube videos or stop playing Mario Kart Odyssey or Super Mario Odyssey, but he
had fun. So you played locally, though? 2 people? Well, yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
him on his phone, me on my phone.
Dor, this is great news. I'm so happy that you brought this app. I had no idea that Tux Kart was available on Android. Super Tux Kart. And it's SuperTuxKart, because that, you know, Super Tux Kart, that may not be the way that they thought you'd spell it, unless they've ever done Linux. But man, the reviews on this are so high. I can't wait to play this. Pretty smooth.
Well, I'll say this. It ran perfectly fine on my device, and it ran perfectly fine on his. His is a 3-year-old Oppo 5 Plus, I think it's called. And his ran perfectly fine. I will say they have a very strong community now. So I'm sure as soon as the game launched, all of the community immediately came out, downloaded it, and gave it good reviews.
You know, I've been playing Tux Kart a few times a year on systems for the last 10, 15 years. I couldn't tell you the last time I played Mario Kart. So this is my Mario. I mean, this is my Mario Kart. I might have played Mario Kart at a GameStop or something, you know, on a Wii. Right.
Well, it's good. I mean, don't get me wrong. It is a good kart game. Yeah. That's all I'll bring tonight, Eric. I have a couple more that I'm going
to
save.
Yeah, and I got some games that I didn't feel like I was ready to bring to the show yet. I wanted to play them a little more. They're both decent games, but I wanted to see how it went.
Gotcha.
Well, Dor, thank you for coming out tonight. We'll have Mark probably back next week. I don't have any travel plans coming up, so I should be here for a while. And I want to thank all the Patreon patrons,
pledgers.
And I'll tell you what, if you don't feel comfortable with Patreon, just go to podnuts.com and look for the other ways to donate to the show. Go ahead.
Right, but I'll just say this: I'm this close to emailing everyone who's donating $1 a month and asking them to stop. Because It's a weird number, apparently. And in PayPal, when you do $1 a month, PayPal literally takes like 34 cents out of
it. When you do $1 a month on PayPal or on Patreon?
When you do $1.
Not on Patreon, though.
Well, Patreon gets all the money, lets it build up till the end of the month, then gives it to you. PayPal does it whenever it's sent. So every time somebody sends me $1, they take over a third of it away. So I'm tempted to tell the people to stop doing the once every month, and maybe once a year do $12 or something, because they're paying exorbitant fees and I'm not seeing the actual rewards, is what I'll say.
Yeah, because I personally, Patreon, I get this weird feeling. I don't know. There's something about Patreon. I just don't care for it. So I gave money to Xavier. I don't know how to spell his last name, but from Podcast Addict. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I need to. I bought his app so long ago, and you know, I've been using it so long that I wanted to throw him a couple more bones. So I threw him $15 via PayPal, which he lives in another country, and ended up translating to 12 something. But rather than doing a Patreon with it, I just there's something weird about Patreon. If you guys also feel that same way, I don't know what it is. It's just a hang up with me. I've got weird things. I got issues.
Yeah, there's nothing weird about Patreon. But I will say, here's the good thing. You gave them 12. They might have taken one out of it. Where if it was the U.S. and $1, you know what I mean? If you scale that up, it's like taking $4 away from it, which did not happen because you did, you know, that much. Yeah, Patreon takes a low percentage away. I cannot remember the exact percent, but I want to say it's around 10%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Which, but they're providing a service. It connects them. It connects us podcasters to you listeners, and you know that there's value in that connection, so they should get money. But
well, and they're expanding their service. They just started a live show, so I can schedule a posting, put the link into here, and then they get the notification. Now I figured it out, a half an hour before the show goes live, then right there on Patreon they can hit play and watch the show live. Also, while you're logged into Patreon as a Patreon pledger, on the top right hand side there's an RSS feed. Really quick message for the guy who left the Patreon message. Man, I can't find his name. Okay. Right there, if you subscribe to that RSS feed, it's no different in your podcast player than subscribing to the real RSS feed. The only difference is you will get the show a half an hour about after we're done hitting stop in this live show. When you go to the public facing podnuts.com feed, you have to wait till Sunday night to get the show. So there's no extra work. All you do is log into Patreon, click that RSS thing, copy it, go into your podcast player choice, add new feed, paste, and it's the exact same experience you'll get. You'll just get the shows earlier. So there's no extra work getting the audio from Patreon.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a couple ways to donate back to the show. Thank you. I just want to thank you all for listening to the show. And I want to give one more shout out to Kyle for hooking me up with a great deal on an Nexus 6P. And I didn't want to pry too much. I don't know if the guy's a student or what, but he's been in 20 countries recently, and he's way younger than I am. And I've been in one or two countries. So yeah, I didn't pry too much. I don't know if he's a student or what, but he was in a college town. So I got to only assume that. And thank you all for reaching out on the Google Plus and the Patreon notes and everything. And emails. We appreciate them. Once again, hit us up on our email so we can have more content to read on the show, because we like listening to your thoughts. Even if you're giving us some criticism, don't give us too much, because we get triggered and start crying and things like that sometimes. What was the phone number again?
7076
PodNut. We haven't had a voicemail in months, so please give us a voicemail if you feel inclined to it. Just do it. It'll be easy and painless. All right, we will see you next week, hopefully with a full cast of characters. Ta-da.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you to listen to my show over at podnuts.com. In each episode, I discuss anything tech-related, including Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and so much more. We even get into rocket science. I hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. and stay tuned for all the great upcoming episodes by subscribing to our RSS feeds.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.